Let me just say a few words of Hakdama. We have two parashiyos in the Torah. One is in Mishpatim, and the other is in Kitetze. One is the parasha of Mefate, and the other is the parasha of Onis. And we'll see that there's going to be a gzeirah shavah between the two parashios, in which one parasha is going to teach something about the other, and vice versa, because there's certain missing pieces of the puzzle in each parasha. If we take, for example, the parasha of Ones, Ki yimtza ish nara besu asher lo oroso tfaso v'shachav imo v'nimtzou v'nosana ish ashochev imo l'avia nara chamishim kosef. So the Torah mentions how much kosef he has to pay as a knas, but we're not exactly sure which matbea it is. And we're going to learn from the parasha in Mishpatim exactly which matbea it is, because there it says v'chi yifate ish psula shelo orasa v'shachav ima mohar yimarenu lo li'isha im ma'en yima'en avil asita lo kesef yishkol k'mar psula. So the word yishkol is going to teach us that the kesef that's paid here for the owner, for the mafate, is shkolim, and hence, because of the equation to ones, the kesef in ones, which is unspecified, is going to be shkolim. So it's going to be chamishim shkolim. On the other hand, in mafate, it doesn't tell you exactly how much kesef yishkol. So we borrow from ones that it's 50. So it's 50 kesef. Now, in addition to the paying of the knas, there are two other payments in the case of Mefate, and three other payments in the case of Onis. So in both cases, we have the additional payments of Boshes Upagam, and in the case of Onis, we have an additional payment above and beyond Boshes Upagam of Tsar. That's going to be the subject of the Mishnah at the end of this parak. Let's keep in mind that there's a fundamental difference between the Chamishim Kesef and the Boshes in Pagam. In the case of the Chamishim Kesef, we have a principle called Moda Miknas Potur. So if he confesses, and Bezdin is going to rely on his confession, then he doesn't pay, because Moda Miknas Potur. But as far as Boshes or Pagam is concerned, those are Nizkei Chaval, that's Mamon, he pays based on his own Hodas Baldin. Now, as far as the differences between Mefate and Ones, the main difference will be, above and beyond what we discussed about Tsar, is what happens if the father's out of the picture, right? The Torah says in the parasha of Ones, it says, V'nasan ha'isha shochei v'imo lavi ha'na'ara, which seems to imply that the father of this Nara, he's the balabas and he collects the knas. But what happens in the event that he's out of the picture? He dies. Well, perhaps other situations, even when he's alive, she becomes a bogeres, maybe the sarasavnis garsha. In such cases, does the Nara herself collect the knas and the bosh supagam? And here's a fundamental difference between Ones on the one hand and Mefata on the other hand. In the case of Mefata, since she consented to have that Maisa, therefore she's Mocheles. So as long as the father is in the picture and he has rights to collect the Knas, etc., then her Mechila is meaningless. She can't be Mochel on his rights. But once he's out of the picture, then we say, as far as she's concerned, she was Mocheles. She has no rights to collect any money. Mashenke, in the case of Ones, clearly there's no mechila, there was no agreement on her part, and therefore she collects the knas, boshes, upagam. Now, a major chunk of this perek, it's almost as if this is, you know, we can change the name of the perek here from Nara and knas to Kim Levin Rabmi Day, and that's going to be the bulk of this perek. So a person became chayav simultaneously for two punishments, and we meet out the more intense punishment, the onesh chomer yoser, and we completely alleviate that person from the second punishment. And it's funny because even though our perek is the perek of Kimleib Deramine, but the Mishnah of Kimleib Deramine is actually in a different Masechta. That's a Masechta Baba Kama. And that's the case of Madlika Disho Shal Chaver B'Shabbos. So on the one hand, he violates the Shabbos with Velechas Mavir by burning the haystack, but on the other hand, he incurs a Chiv Nezikin to pay and compensate the owner of the Gaddish. And the Mishnah established that he's alleviated from his payment of the Gaddish because he's Chayav Misa. And here too, in the case of Ones, and for that matter Mafat as well, we have the issue of Kimleib Deramine in a case where he violates an Iser Erva, or maybe even Chayvei Lavin. And that's going to be the subject of the first Mishnah in Elunaris, where he has this relationship of Ones and Mafata with a woman who's Asura Olav, and perhaps if there was Hasra, he gets Malkus. And in such a case, does the Malkus therefore knock off the Chiyuv Tashlume Mamon under the law of Kimleib Deramine? Our perek is going to derive the source for Kimleib Deramine, whether it's a derivation from the pasuk Lo Yason in Parashas Mishpatim, or perhaps from the Parasha of Molech. And we're going to have a gigantic machlokas as to whether or not Kimleib Deramine applies in a case of Kares, where there's no Chiyuv Onesh in Bezdin, or for that matter, Misa B'dei Shamayim. Again, it's outside of the realm of Bezdin. Do we still apply the principle of Kimleib Deramine? We'll have another gigantic machlokas here in this perek about the case of Malkus U'Mamon. What do we do if there's a double punishment, Malkus U'Mamon? And that's going to be Machlokes Shin Ula and Rav Yochanan. Ula says, Mamona Mishalei, Milka Lo Lucky. He pays the money, and he's alleviated from Malkus. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, no, it's just the opposite. According to Rav Yochanan, Milka Lo Lucky, Mamona Lo Mishan. The Malkus is the more severe punishment. It seems that Ula might hold that Mamon is the more severe punishment. And we once explained that because maybe it's a $1 million lawsuit. You know, he'd rather get the Malkus than the $1 million payment. But in the case of Kimleib Deramine, we give him the more severe punishment, which would be that he has to pay the $1 million. Then we have a major issue about Shogeg. When we talk about Chayvei Misos Mezid, he's Chayv Misa, and therefore he doesn't pay for damages. But let's say in the case of Shogeg, where he's not Chayv Misa, do we say nevertheless that he is potter from Tashlumin, despite the fact that we don't punish him under the Chayv Misa because he's a Shogeg? And that's going to be the sugya of Tana Debei Chizkiya, which Mr. Shem will get to derive the conclusion that Kimlei applies based on the Aver itself. If the Aver itself is the type of Aver which you could classify as a Chayv Misa, it matters not whether we implement that punishment of Chiyuv Misa. Therefore, even in the case of Shogeg, he's potter from Tashlumei Mamon.
I don't remember. That's the Maskana? Or is that not clear?
Give me a second. It seems that everybody accepts, in the case of Chayvei Misos, the principle of Chizkiya, of Tana Debei Chizkiya. You remember he had a very complicated Yalfusa, in which the Torah Maka Behemi Shalmeneh, the Torah equates Maka Adam with Maka Behema, and just like in Maka Behema you're always Chayev, so to Maka Adam you're always Potter, Behem Bemezid, Behem Shogeg. That was Tana Bechizkiya. I think we decided that there's no one who disagrees or rejects Tana Bechizkiya. But in the real issue, and this is not so much an our parak, it overlaps in our parak, but it's really a sugin chulin, is the case of Chayvei Malkiyo Shogegim. Right, we have because let's keep in mind that Kimleib Deramine in the case of Chayvei Misos is derived from Ason. But in the case of Chayvei Malkiyos, it's derived from a different pasuk, Kedei Rishoso. And the issue becomes Mishurish Achas Atomachayvo, means that Bezin is about to implement these two punishments of Mammon and Malkus, and then we have Machlokus Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, which one of the two punishments we mete out. But that's only because Bezin's hands are tied and they cannot implement two punishments. But in the case of Chayvei Malkiyos Shogegim, where there's no chiyuv malchus, it could very well be that in this case we don't look at the avera per se, but rather we look at Bezdin and whether Bezdin is implementing the punishment. And since it's a case of shogeg and Bezdin's hands are tied, therefore it could very well be that Bezdin is now free to implement the other aspect, the other punishment of Mama. And that sugi is not head on here in this Masechta. That's actually a machlokes from Yochanan Reish Lakish in Masechta Chulin about Chayvei Malkiyos Shogegin. So without further ado, let's begin our Mishnah. Elu Naros Sheyesh Lahem Knas. And we'll soon see that. We'll soon see that you really have to read it. Afilu Elu Naros Yesh Lahem Knas. Meaning, even though he violates an Avera, which generates perhaps a Chiyuv Malkus, or maybe even worse, nevertheless, he pays Knas. Kolshkein, if she's a Kshera, certainly it goes without saying that if there's no Avera whatsoever, so there's no Havamina to apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramina, he certainly would pay Knas. Habala Mamzeres V'al HaNesina. Now the case of Mamzeres is pretty clear, because Mamzeres is a Chiyuv Malkus for a Lav D'Oraisa. The Torah says Lo Yova Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. And it could very well be that if it's only a Chiyuv Malkus as opposed to Chiv Kares, then we would suspend the principle of Kim Levi the Ravmine. And therefore he pays Knas. Or alternatively, as we'll soon see, there's Velosia Leisha. And the question is whether the Torah recognizes this marriage. And that's going to be a Machlokas Tanoim between Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Hamnusi and Shimon HaTimni, about how to learn the Pasuk V'lo Siya Le'isha. That's going to be a major part of our Chazorah, because honestly, I've already forgotten some of the details there, and that's a major, major issue here, about how to learn the relationship between the Chiv Knas as a Chiv Mamon and the mitzvah of marrying her in the case of an Ones. What kind of woman is included in V'lo Siya Le'isha? What kind of woman class is excluded from V'lo Siya Le'isha? If it's Eina Ruhi L'Kaima, or is it Les Be Havaya? Do you remember that? Well, we'll get to it. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But whatever it is, it could very well be that once we interpret Velosia Leisha in such a way that it excludes category X or Y, that's going to be a gigantic machlokas, then that would take that woman out of the parish of Knas as well. Yeah. That the Knas and the Velosia Leisha is a package deal, and they're all interdependent.
I don't remember whether anybody says they're not a package deal.
Yes, there will be those. And that could be our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is going to include cases where there's no Velo Seal Isha, and yet Yechayev Knas, which means that our Mishnah is simply cutting the umbilical cord between the two dimensions of the parish of Onis, the Velosia Le'isha, which is inapplicable in this whole list of cases of psulos, and the Chiv Knas as a Chiv Mama, and they remain two independent parashios. So the Mishnah is going to admit that there's no way that in this case the Ma'anis is going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Velosia Le'isha. That's impossible. And then we're going to have also give Mirz Hashem about Esei Dochalosis and why Esei Dochalosis does not apply in this case. So there's no Velosia Le'isha. And yet, the Mishnah says Yesh Lahem Knas. And that's going to be a long, long sugya later on. And we're going to introduce Chayvei Lavim, Chayvei Malkios, and Chayvei Krisus, and Chayvei Mises Bezdin. The subject of Chayvei Mises Bezdin really doesn't come up until the next Mishnah. That's going to be the case of Habal Bito. That's the next Mishnah. So we can get away with Mamzeres. Then we get to Nesina, and life becomes very complicated. We don't know exactly what the status of Nesina is. Rashi, here at the beginning of the Perek, in the case of Nesina, which is about seven lines down, he quotes David HaMelech. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that the Isur of Nesina is a Gzeras David HaMelech. And David HaMelech was really standing on the shoulders of Yoshua, who had already declared that the Nesinim would become Chotvei Eitzim v'Shoavei Mayim. Clearly Rashi is understanding that the word Nesina here is a reference to an Isur Dirabanan, and it's a Gzera, which really means that Nesina sort of crept into our Mishnah, because everything else in our Mishnah presumably is Doraisa except for Nesina, but that's Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam, which is in the third of the wide lines of this long first Tosus in the Perek, disagrees with his grandfather, and he interprets that Nesina Surah Doraisa Vishnu Lo Tischatein Bam. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Torah prohibited the seven nations from entering into Kal Yisrael, even if they undergo Gerus. That's called Big Gerusa. There are other Rishonim who have a slightly different take on Nesina. For example, the Rabban is of the opinion that the Isur D'oraisa v'lo tischatein bam in the case of Nesina only applies to the first generation. It doesn't apply to the next generation. The Raven, on the other hand, has a different pshat in Nesina. He says that the Nesinim did not have a serious, genuine gerus, and they only converted because they were afraid of the Jewish people at that point in time. And according to the Ravid, the principle here of applying lav of los tischatein bam to Nesina, which is an Isur D'oraisa, is based on the fact that we don't accept them as Jews. We assume that their gerus is not a sincere gerus. Now the Ravid would say that if we had a, let's call it a first generation Nesina who would undergo serious gerus, genuine, as we checked her out and she's absolutely sincere about her gerus, then there would be no Isur of Lo Tischatein Bam. Because according to the Ravid, the application of Lo Tischatein Bam to Nesina is based on the fact that they were there was a false gerus.
But you said first generation. Wouldn't that be any generation?
Now, why do I emphasize first generation? Because the Ramban would say that the first generation of Nesinim are definitely awesome with the Raisa, even with the most severe, sincere Gerus in the world.
I see.
Because the Ramban differentiates between first generation Gerim in the case of Nesina and other generations.
Okay, thanks.
Now, Rashi has a pretty strong argument about his classification of Nesina as the Rabbanah based on the Gemara in Yevamos that clearly says it was a Gzer of David HaMelech. So the other Rishonim who assume that Nesina is the Raisa, they're going to have a real challenge to try to figure out why was it necessary for David HaMelech to institute this Gzera when we're dealing with an Isur D'oraisa. The Ramban is not so problematic because he holds that the Isur D'oraisa only applies to the first generation. So the second generation, which already we get down to David HaMelech, so those descendants of the original Nesinim, they could enter into Klal Yisrael, and that's where David put a whammy on them. He put a Gzera on them. According to the Ravid, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Ravid's going to understand this Gzera of David HaMelech. And Rabbeinu Tam has a discussion here in the bulk of this Tosfos about what the status of Nesina and what motivated Yoshua, what motivated David HaMelech to put them as Avodim and Chotvei Eitzim. That's the subject of Nesina. So again, I'm just touching, I'm barely scratching the surface here. There are four different shitas in Nesina. Then we get to the case of Kusis. That's also a complicated issue, because Rashi points out that there's a machlokus about the gerus of the Kusim. Was it a sincere gerus? Was it not? And Rashi understands that Kusis is Doraisa in our Mishnah, and it would entail a violation of Lo Tischatein Bam, because our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Gerei Arayosen. And Gerei Arayos means that they converted because of the fear of Klal Yisrael, because there was a whammy on them that the Arayos would come and devour them. So they decided, let's opt for Geirus. And the other Rishonim are going to learn that Kusis, even according to the Maan D'Omer, says Geirei Emes Hein, that they did have a sincere Geirus, but nevertheless there was an admixture of those who had a sincere Geirus with those who did not, and they were all mixed up in what we call an Issa. An Issa is like a dough, and as they intermarried. Yeah. So we don't know the status of any individual Kusis. So let's say in our Mishnah, in the case of Onus and Mefata, the Nara herself was one of the descendants of the Kusim, and the Kusim again were a group. Again, we're not talking about Givonim. You remember the Messina Rashi identifies as a descendant of the Givonim, but here we're talking about
the Shomronim, basically.
Well, yeah, okay, I don't know enough about the Shomronim. I think the Shomronim were originally full-fledged Jews. In the case of Nisina, they were originally Givonim, and they belonged to one of the various seven nations that occupied the land. They were not Jews. In the case of Kusim, so the history of it is a group of Ovdei El-Lilim, and at the time of Sancheiriv Melech Ashur, when he sent 10 Shvatim out of Eretz Yisrael into exile, so they brought the Kusim into Eretz Yisrael to take their place. Now it could very well be, as you say, Chaim, very well, that the Kusim eventually, although they accepted Judaism, they only accepted Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why you identify them very well with the Shomer.
No, that's the Karaim.
And the Shomronim, again, you know,
also
they were the forerunners of the later Karaim. In any event, the Torah says about a non-Jewish person, lo tischatim bom, that that's an isa lav to marry them. And if we assume, the way Rashi assumes, that the gerus of the Kusim was not valid, then their status is that of nochrim, of non-Jewish people. And therefore the Yisrael Lavalot Tizchati Bom applies. That's the way Rashi learns our Mishnah. However, in the Gemara, if what's called Eli Yuchsin, at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, there's another Tana that says that the Kusim were Geri Emes. Now, if the Kusim were Geri Emes, then they leave the status of Goyim, and they really have the status of Jewish people. Now, the good news is that if we assume that our Mishnah reflects Geri Emes Haim, then we begin to understand why the Mishnah had to bother mentioning Kusim here. Well, no, let me say it better than that. I'm sorry, cross that out. We begin to understand how in the case of Kusim, there could possibly be a Knas. According to Rashi, if our Mishnah reflects the Tana who holds Geri Arayas Haim, so there was no real genuine valid gerus, then they have the status of nochrim, and hence Rashi quotes the pasuk tischatim bom. But why would they receive knas? Is there any basis for assuming that a non-Jewish woman who was raped by a Jewish man would collect knas? That's a pretty far out assumption. So if we assume that our Mishnah reflects the sheet of gerei emes haim, so they really do have the status of Jewish people. And if that be the case, there's no Iser of Lo Tischatim Bom. So the Mishnah wants to say the following, that there was a Gzera on the Kusim, because the Gemara says in Bechul, they found the Kusim were still worshipping idols and things like that.
That's a Pasuk also, I believe.
And that I don't remember. But the problem is that once the Rabbanon made this Gzera, that we should not marry the Kusim, does it go a step further and it removes them from Knas? And that's the Kiddush of our Mishnah. Uh-huh. Then our Mishnah says that since they are Geri Emes, and therefore they are Jewish people technically, just the Rabbanon made a Gzera, so the question is how far do we go? Should we go as far as to say that the Gzera, the Chachamah, removes them from Knas, and by removing them from Knas we further strengthen the Gzerah Drabbanah, the enactment that we should marry them? And that's the Chiddush Mishnah, although there was a Gzerah that we should marry them, but nevertheless they still collect Knas. That goes back to the Doraisa Halacha. Then the Mishnah says, "Haba al hagioris ve'al ashvi al ashivcha." Now, this part of the Mishnah is dealing with a different word in the parasha. Until now, we've been dealing with the issue of a nara, and who is this nara? Is she a mamzeres? Is she a nesina? Is she a kusis? Now we're focusing our attention on another word in the parasha, because the Torah says that she's a nara besula. Now, as far as Giyorah, Shvuyah, and Shivcha are concerned, before we see the Mishnah, these women are clearly not Besulos. They have a Cheskas Be'ula. And that's based on the fact that we assume that the behavior pattern that's typical in non-Jewish societies allows for a free kind of relationship. So therefore, we have to assume she's Becheskas Besula. I'm sorry, Cheskas Be'ula. And therefore, the Ma'anes has a right to say, I'm not going to pay the Knas. He'll let her prove that she was a Besula. But here the Mishnah differentiates between Pachos Mi Gimel Shanim and Li'achar Gimel Shanim. What do I mean? We have a principle that a Ketana who's less than Gimel Shanim Yomecha, Besulel Chozrin, and therefore she's not considered included in the Parsha of Bia. Her status is that of Besula by definition. So in these three cases of non-Jewish women who converted to Judaism before the age of three, they retain their Cheskas Besula. What are these three women? Who are they? One is a Gioris, a regular non-Jewish woman who underwent Gerus. Now you might ask me, how could she have possibly underwent Gerus at the age of 2.5? Where's her Kabbalah's old mitzvahs? So that's a sugi in the first parak of Ksubis called Ger Katan Matbilin Osal Das Bezdin. Then we have the case of a Shvuya. In the case of a Shvuya, if she was less than 3 years old, then we assume that she's a Besula. Because even in the worst case scenario, that the captors raped her, but nevertheless she still retains her status as a Besula. So that's called Pchusa Mibashal Shalmiya Mechad. The third category, also a non-Jewish woman, is the case of a Shifcha Knanis. So in all these cases, if the girl enters into Klal Yisrael before the age of three, so for example, Nisgairu or Nishtacharu, I'll get back to Niftu in a second, so Nisgairu and Nishtacharu would mean that they became full-fledged members of the Jewish community, and that happened Pachusos Mibas Mibnos Shol Shon V'Yomechud, so she still has a Cheskas Besula, because even in the worst case scenario, if during her period of Gius or of Shavius when she was a Shvuya, there was a Bia, but nevertheless that Bia doesn't register in terms of Halacha, and Al Pidin she still remains a Besula. In the case of a Shvuya, we have what's called Pinyon Shvuyim, and they were able to redeem her before she reached the age of three, and therefore she retains her Cheskas Besulin. In the case of a Shivcha, the owner of the Shivcha, the Jewish Adon, gave her a Shtar Shichur before she reached the age of three. Now we get to the third category in our Mishnah, the third Bava, and these are what's called Chayve Krisus. Habal Achoso, Achos Oviv, Achos Imo, Achos Ishto, Eishes Ochiv, El Eishes Achi Oviv, V'al Anido. All of these are Chayve Krisus. And Yeshlem Knas. And the Gemara is going to point out that this Mishnah rejects the sheet of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who's of the opinion that even in the case of Chayve Krisus, we apply the principle of Kimle Bidarabimine. And then the Mishnah concludes by telling us the following: Afal Pisha Hein Behikares, Ein Ben Mises Bezdin. So if this Ma'anes had a relationship with a Nara where there was a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin, then we would apply the principle of Kimlei Mirami. But our Mishnah is saying there is no Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. In the worst case scenario, we're talking about Chiyuv Kares, and there's no Kim Leib Raminate in the case of a Chiyuv Karis against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. The Gemara asks the obvious question. It says Elu Naros. Usually the word Elu means these to the exclusion of others. Hani Naros Psulos Islam Knas Kshiris Lo. That doesn't make any sense. Hachikomer Elu Naros Psulos Sheyesh Lem Knas. It goes without saying that she's a Kshira, she gets Knas. But even if she's a Psula, in the following exhaustive list, which includes Chayvei Lavim and Chayvei Krisus, she collects Knas. But if she were Psula B'Torah's Chayv Misus Pes, then she would not collect Knas. Habol Mamzeres found the scene of Alakusis. Fine. Nara in Ketana Lo. The Mishnah assumes that Elu Naras, only in the case of a Nara she collects Knas, but in the case of Ketana she does not collect Knas, says the Gemara, Man Tana. Who is the author of our Mishnah that maintains that a Ketana does not collect Knas? Om Rabbi Yudha Marav, Rabbi Meir. So the Chachamim, we'll soon see, disagree with our Mishnah, and they would have to interpret our Mishnah in a different way, which would be Afnara, and Ketana also collects Knas. Again, it would probably be meaningful to emphasize here that even if a Ketana collects Knas, that would only be in the case of a Ketana who is 3 years old, and therefore the Halacha recognizes her Bia. And the reason I emphasize this is because we're about to discuss the case of Alma Evria, which means that the father has rights over his daughter who's a Ketana to sell her as a kind of a Shivcha, an Alma Evria. And that applies from the day that she's born. But in the case of the Chachamim de Rabbi Meir regarding Knas, and they maintain that even a Ketana collects Knas, that's only in the case of Ibas Shalosh Shonim de Omecha. So let's not confuse that with the case of Alma Evria. So Rameir he desanya, here's the brisa. Ketana mibas yom echad v'ad shetovish de saros, yesh lo mecher v'ein lo knas. According to Rabbi Meir, we have a mutually exclusive situation with regard to knas and mecher. Whenever there is knas, there's no mecher. Whenever there's no knas, there is mecher. It's just mutually exclusive. So for example, in the case of a young girl who's a Ketana from day one until Shtei Saros, the father has rights to sell her as an Om Evria. However, during that period of time, says Rav Meir, Ein Lo Knas, because the rights of the father over her to sell her as an Om Evria preclude Knas. But Mishatovi Shtei Saros, once she becomes a Nara, so that's the 6 months between her 12th birthday and 12 and a half. Then on the contrary, Yeshla Knas, she's a Nara and she gets Knas, but V'Eilah Mecher, the father has already forfeited his rights to sell her as an Om Evriya. So that's what happens to a Nara according to Rabbi Meir. So we'll review it one more time. According to Rabbi Meir, during Katnus, the father could sell her, but there's no Knas. During Narus, the father cannot sell her, but she collects Knas. So our Mishnah, which singles out Narus for Knas, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Shahai Rabbi Meir, Omer Kol Mokum Sheish Mecher, which is a reference to Katnus, Ein Knas. Kol Mokum Sheish Knas, which is a reference to Narus, Ein Mecher. V'chachomim Omerim, Ketana Mibas Sholosh Shonim V'yom Echer V'yad Shetiboga Yesh Lam Knas. That from the time that she's 3 years old and she's a bas bia, up until her bagrus, which means when she becomes 12 and a half, so we have this period of time in her life from age 3 till age 12.5 in which she collects knas. Now, as far as mecher is concerned, there's no argument about mecher. Chachamim also agree that from the moment that she's born, the father has a right to sell her as an Oma. And that continues up until she becomes a Boger, up until the moment she becomes a Nara and she has Shtei Saros. The Chiddush of the Chachamim is that from the ages of 3 till 12, there's an overlap between her rights to collect knas and the father's rights to sell her as an oma.
Now, Rabbi Meir reads the pasuk more literally. It says nara, nara.
Right.
Okay.
The only thing is that keep in mind, again, that's going to be a sugya later on, that when the Torah writes nara without a hey, it's indicative of a ketan.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Thank you.
Again, that's a whole sugya unto itself.
Yeah, thank you.
But anyway, according to the Chachamim Rabbi Meir, what you have is both mecher and knas during her katnus. It's just that mecher starts from the moment she's born, whereas knas will be delayed until she's 3 years old. But from 3 until 12, the father has rights to sell her, and in event of onus, he collects knas. And here's where Rabbi Meir says, no, if the father has rights to sell her, then there's no knas. Now the Gemara asks a question on the Chachamim. The Gemara asks the following question: knas in mecher lo. If you read the brisa here of Chachamim and you translate it very literally, it sounds like the Chachamim are saying yesh lehem knas, meaning from the age of 3 till the age of 12, they collect knas for onus and mafata. Does that come to exclude mecher? No. Ema says the Gemara. Here we turn to Choftesam and Beis. Af knas b'mokom mecher. That even though, and here the Chacham are disagreeing with Rabbi Meir, even though the father has rights to sell her as an omen, nevertheless, the rights to collect knas still exist. The Gemara asks the following question, and this is the big sugya. Hani b'nei knasa ninu. Are you telling me that even in the case of Amzeres and all the other psulos, she collects knas for Amai? Why don't we look in the parish and see if a woman who is asura, she's psula, could collect knas? Ikri kan velosia leisha. I was asking it as a question. Isha ru'uyla. When the Torah says that he has to marry her, we're talking about an Isha Ru'uyla, that he's allowed to marry her. Well, that doesn't apply in all these cases listed in the Mishnah. And the premise of the Gemara's Kash is if these women are excluded from the parish of Alosia Le'isha, then they should be excluded from the entire parish as a package deal, even from Knas. And the Gemara gives two answers. We have Reish Lakish's answer, Rav Papa's answer, and the Gemara is going to ask why this one rejected that one, or vice versa. Amar Reish Lakish, the Chiyuv Knas in the case of a Nara Psula is going to be derived from a Ribui, because in the Parsha it says Nara, Nara, Ha Nara, and we have 3 Psukim. So let's read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in the parish of Ones, Vinasana Isha Shochevi Mola Vihanara. And there was no need to add the word Hanara because it could have said Le'avia. So we have Nara, and then we have another Nara and Hanara. Chad Legufe. So the first time the Torah says Nara, we need the din itself to tell me that an Ones in the Nara is he pays Knas. That's a case of an Isha Kshera, meaning an Isha Muteris. But Chad, since the Torah gives us another Ribui, there's another Nara, that's the extra word Nara, is for Chayvei Lavan. Chayvei Lavan is the lesser Chidush in the pyramid of Isurin. So even though she's a Psula, nevertheless she collects Knas. V'chad Lasuye Chayvei Krisus. We have a third Nara, or the Hay of Ha Nara, which comes to include even Chayvei Krisus, which, as we said before, is a big chiddush, because ain kedushin tosa b'chayvei krisus. There's no havaya with chayvei krisus. So what are we going to do with the pasuk velosi elisha? And we're going to have to assume that velosi elisha is only a limited, restricted dimension of this parasha, namely his obligation to marry her. And there you need a woman sheish ba havaya. But as far as the chiyuv knas is concerned, and osad la via nara, etc., that applies even when there's no havaya, there's no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of Alosi Elisha. Rav Papa Amar, Besula, Besulos, HaBesulos. Now we're going to the parasha Mafata in Mishpatim, and it says, V'chiyafate ish Besula. And it says afterwards, Kesef Yishkol Kemor HaBesulos. and we didn't have to mention Kimoar Absuos, because if it would have just said Kesef Yishkol Kimoar, then the word Moar would have been understood as referring to the Moar of a Besula. So why did it say Moar HaBesulos? So we also have the Hay of HaBesulos, like we had earlier, the Hay of HaNaro. Chad HaGufe, Chad HaSui Chai V'Lava, Chad HaSui Chai V'Krisim. So the Gemara now is going to ask Rav Papa, my time of Omer Kresh Lakish. What was Rav Papa's objection to Resh Lakish? And the answer is, Rav Papa holds, Ahumi boile lichid abaye, I need the Pasuk Hanara to teach me the halacha of Abaye. The Omer Abaye, bo aleh umesa potur. If the Ma'anes rapes this woman, and then she dies, and that's before the Avodah B'din, potur. There's no chiyuv. And by the way, this... Now I'm a smart aleck. Why am I a smart aleck? Because I'm reading this Gemara after I already finished everything that we've learned until now. So I'm going to tell you that this Gemara of Abaye reflects the sheet of the Rambam. If you remember yesterday, we discussed the sheet of the Rambam, that the tviya, the claim on onus and knas, is her claim. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And this makes sense according to Abaye's drasha, because if she died, then the whole enterprise of Knas goes down to a watery grave together with her. Shenemar menasan lavi anara, lavi anara, anara v'lo mesa, lo avi mesa. So I need the pasuk anara, says Rav Papa, to exclude a case where she died after the onus and before the Amor of Edid. Because Talmud Bedin, let's use the Rambam Shita, has to come through her tviya. Well, she's not here anymore. Hence, the entire enterprise of Knasko is gone. Reish Lakish, my time will omakrav papa. Hahumi boile, he needs the posuk habsulos, l'gzera shavu. And you may remember that we wanted to create a gzera shavu between the two parashim. So here's the gzera shavu. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Kesev Yishkol Kimoar Absulos. The Torah doesn't tell me exactly how much Kesev, it just says Kesev in a general sense. So we're going to need a Gzeira Shava, and the word Besula here in the Parsha of Mefata appears again in the Parsha of Ones, and that's going to teach me that the amount of kesef that has to be paid in the case of mafat is equal to the amount that's paid in the case of onus, where the Torah specifies chamishim kesef. Shehei zeh kemora besulos. But just like in the case of onus, the Torah says chamishim kesef, so too in the case of kesef yishkol kemora besulos, how much kesef do you give? The answer is, like the mora besulos, kazeh of the Ma'anis. And in the case of Ma'anis, it's 50. And now, Reish Lakish is going to take this Gzeira Shavu in the opposite direction, and he's going to tell you that from this Gzeira Shavu, we're going to figure out that in the case of Ones, he's got to pay Shkolin. It just says 50 Kesef. It doesn't tell you which Matbea it is. And the answer is, it's the same Matbea that's specified in the parasha of Mefata, where it says Kesef Yishkol, which means Shkolin. So he has to pay 50 Shkolin. So the Gemara now asks Reish Lakish, Nami mi boile lichid Abaye, how does Reish Lakish use the parasha of Nara when we need Abaye's drosh lavia Nara v'lo lavia Mesa? Rapapa Nami mi boile l'gzer shav, doesn't Rapapa need the word habesulos, which he uses to derive even chayvi lavim, even chayvi krisus? He needs it for the gzer shav. Ella says the Gemara, this is the answer to the Gemara's question, that we can darshan the psukim that we mentioned earlier, both in the parashios of Ones and Mefata, in a different way, and we could derive all the derivations that we need and all the halachas that are necessary, because shisa kroy ksive, that between the three nara formulations and the three besulos formulation, we have six psukim. So we have Nara, Nara ha Nara, Besula, Besulos ha Besulos, and now we're going to darshan Trela Gufayu. So two of them we need to tell me the din of Nara Besula or Mafata Besula. Vechad, now we need one pasuk Lichad Abai to teach me that if she died before the Gamor Bedin, then the entire Knas is gone. Vechad L'Gzeres Shava. Now we need one pasuk for the Gzeres Shava. And that's going to teach me that both in the case of Onus and Mafati Pei Chamishim Shkolim, Ice Relace Trey. Now we have two extra psukim left out of the six. We've used up four. Chad Lasuy Chavi Lama, Chad Lasuy Chavi Krisis. And now we start the major sugya. Ulafuke mehaitana. Our Mishnah excludes Kimle b'Dramine. I'm sorry. We're not up to that yet. Sorry. Our Mishnah excludes the Tana of a Braisa who records machlokas between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, because both Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh agree. It's a unanimous understanding on the part of both of them that Velosia Isha is part and parcel of the parish of Knas, which means that in the case of Ma'anis Chayvei Lav Mechayvei Krisus, there will be no Knas because there's no Velosia Isha. Now, are we referring to Chayvei Lavim or referring to Chayvei Krisus? That's going to be the Machlokes within the Braisa, the Sanya Velosia Isha, Shimon HaTimni Omer, Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya. In other words, there's no Knas unless she fits this description of Yesh Bahavaya, which is another way of saying Kedushin Tofsin. So, for example, in the case of Baal Achoso, if a man would marry his sister, the Torah does not validate or recognize that marriage, and therefore it's not considered Yesh Bahavaya. And that's called Chayvei Krisus. Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chayvei Krisus. You cannot validate a marriage relation with Chayvei Krisus, and therefore there's no Chiv Knas. So our mission of Habal Achoso pays Knas. That's certainly against Shimon HaTimni. Not only that, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh goes a step further, and he says there's only Knas in the case of an Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima, because he derives from the Tia. It says in the pasuk Velo Sia L'Isha. Sia means Kiyum. Kiyum means that you can maintain this marriage relationship. So in the case of a man who is Ma'anis a Mamzeres, which is Chayvei Lavim, she's excluded from Knas according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh because she's not an Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima. So our Mishnah could not be reconciled neither with Rav Shimon HaTimni, who speaks about Chayvei Krisus and the impossibility of being Tofes Kedushin, nor could it be like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who says that our Mishnah that the Chiv Knas can only be in the case of Ru'uya L'Kaima, and clearly our Mishnah that states that he pays the Knas in the case of Mamzeres, which is not Ru'uya L'Kaima, it's Chayvei Lavim. That's against Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Now at this point, the Gemara spells out the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. My Beinayu, Om Rav Zera, Mamzeres, and Nesina, Ike Beinayu. Lemandi Omer Yeshba Avaya is Ha Nami Yeshba Avaya. Lemandi Omer Ru'uya L'Kaima Ha Eina Ru'uya L'Kaima. So if we go with the Shita of Shimon HaTimni, then in the case of Mamzeres, which is only Chayvei Lavim, the Torah recognizes the marriage between Yisrael and a Mamzeres. That's called Yeshba Avaya. And therefore, in such a case, she would be considered an Isha who's Yesh Ba'avaya, she's included in Avaya, and therefore she would get Knas. But according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who requires an Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima, the case of Mamzeres would be excluded from Knas because she's not an Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima. And now the Gemara is going to start a major sugya investigating What is the nature of the lav? What I mean by nature of the lav is we have a whole pyramid of chayvei of isurei ishus, and how far up on the totem pole do you have to be? How severe of an isur Does it have to be in order to break up the Havaya, to break up the Tfisas Kiddush? So on the top of the pyramid, we have Chayvei Mises Bezdin, like Baal Bito. That for sure is Ein Bo Havaya. Below that, we have Chayvei Krisus, which is a case of Baal Achoso, for example. And once again, we're going to assume that less be Havaya. But then we go down. We go from Chayvei Krisus, go down to Chayvei Lav, and from Chayvei Lav, we go down to Chayvei Essay. And then we have something even lower than a Chayvei Essay, which is a case of Kahuna, like for example, a Kohen Gadol, where it says, Ishu b'psuleo yikach. And again, the question is, at what point do we say less be Havaya? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva di Omar, Ein Kiddushin Tosu b'Chayvei Lav. And we'll soon see that Rabbi Akiva goes very far, and he says that we can invalidate Kiddushin even in cases where there's no Chiyuv Misa, there's no Chiyuv Karis, there's only a violation of a Lav. And if that be the case, then we've actually neutralized, or shall we say, completely undermined the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Asya, because we came up with Chayvei Lavin, but now it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva that even Chayvei Lavin is considered Isha Shal the less Be Havaya. There's no Kiddushin Tofsin according to Rabbi Akiva and Chayvei Lavin. So that means that even in the case of Mamzeres, there's no fulfillment of Shimon HaTimni's requirement of Isha Sheish Ba Havaya, because Mamzeres is an Isha Sheim Ba Havaya. And therefore, once again, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and come up with an afkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. We're looking for a case where there would be Tfisas Kiddushin, even though it's Ein Arui L'Kaima. Ikebeinayu Almona L'Kohen Gadol. So the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol is a case of an Isha She'Ein Arui L'Kaima, but yet there would be Tfisas Kiddushin. Why? Because it's less than a lav. Why is it less than a lav? Because the Torah says, Isha, for who Isha b'psula yikach, meaning that he's required to marry a b'sula. He's not allowed to marry an almona. But on the other hand, we would not consider that, even according to Rabbi Akiva, to be a less be havaya. It's an Einarui L'Kaima situation, but it's not a less be havaya. Kidder Rav Simoi, and with this we'll finish up. The Sadi Rav Simoi, Omer Ben Akol, Oser Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva makes all Chayvei Lavim into Mamzerim, and therefore there's no Tfisas Kiddushin, less be havaya. Chutz the Almona L'Kohen Gadol. Why? Because in the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol, and so there's no Mamzeris over here, is Hare Omer Torah Lo Yikach V'lo Yechalel Chiluim Hu Ose V'Eino Ose Mamzerim. That there's a special miut to this. Now, I jumped the gun a little bit because I told you about a Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. We're not up to Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Mm-hmm. I made that mistake. We're up to Almona L'Kohen Gadol, which is explicit in the Torah as a separate lav. The Torah says, Lo Yikach. Mm-hmm. But then it says, Lo Yechal Zara. And the drasha is that Lo Yechal Zara tells us that there's no mamzeris, which means that if an almona would be married off to a Kohen Gadol, the Torah would in fact recognize the validity of that marriage. All right, we'll have to pick this up tomorrow because time has run out.
Okay.
And I apologize that we're really in the thick of the middle of a sugya, but it's a long sugya, so we have to.
The intro was good.
Yeah. And then we're going to get to Rav Nechunya ben Akana tomorrow, and that's the major sugya that I've been talking about.